Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Welcome back. So we are going to be learning the second part of Siman Chav Gimel, the 23rd chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, regarding some of the laws of Kriyas Torah, of learning the Torah, of reading the Torah. In our second part, we're going to look at the four basic concepts here, and they are limitations as to who can get called, and the parameters of an aliyah, and mistakes, and finally returning the Torah. Let's jump straight in. Limitations as to who can get called. In this section, we're going to look at 12 basic questions. Number one is, are there any other restrictions we should be aware of for aliyahs? The answer is yes. Brothers should not be called back to back, and neither should a father and a son, or a grandfather and a grandson, get aliyahs back to back. This is all a concept of ayin hara. We don't want people to start saying, "Oh, look, what a nice family! What a big family! Oh wow! Can't believe they have such a big." Right, those kind of things. We don't want that din to be brought up, and people to start talking, and or there to be any form of kitrug or a concern that's raised about them. So we do not give those aliyahs back to back. What happens if they still don't? The brothers don't mind. They say, we don't mind. We're not concerned about this. Nope, you're not allowed to do that. That's the halacha. That's how the regulation was made. Now, question number three, what if it was from Acharon to Maftir? Meaning to say it's the last Aliyah and there's Maftir. So it's still an issue unless there are two separate Sefer Torah. Meaning to say if Maftir was from a different Sefer, like on Rosh Chodesh, the four Parashios, on Chanukah, then you can do it back-to-back because it's considered a separate Sefer. Fourth, what happens if we miscalculated, and we called him up as the Gabbai, we called up the two brothers? If that's the case, if he goes up, he shouldn't go down. Meaning even if he hasn't said the Bracha, but he walks up the Bima, then he shouldn't go down. But if he didn't go up yet, he should not ascend, and then they call up somebody else instead. For grandsons and grandfathers and brothers, just from only from the mother's side, then they can lechatchila go up if they were already called. They don't have to waive it. If the mistake was already made, even when they haven't gone up yet. Question number five: can I get a second aliyah in one day if I go to another shul? The answer is yes. The concern about getting a second aliyah on the same day is not a concern about the person, but rather a concern about the Torah. If a person gets an aliyah twice, then maybe it makes it seem like the Torah had a problem. But if it's another shul, another minyan, no problem whatsoever. This does not mean that people need to be going around to getting as many aliyahs as they can. There's a cost to everything, but this means to say, technically speaking, it's not an issue in terms of getting a double aliyah. On fast days, can I get an aliyah if I'm not fasting? The answer is nope. The Kriyas Torah on a fast day is only if you are fasting. What happens if I'm the only kohen and I'm not fasting? In that case, the kohen should exit the shul, and then suddenly a Levi Yisrael is called up b'mkom kohen in the place of that kohen. What happens if I'm fasting at Shachris, but already know I won't make it throughout the day, so you're not allowed to get an aliyah at Shachris? Question number nine, what happens if I was already called and I am fasting? So it depends. If it happened on a Monday or Thursday, when there would be Kriyas Torah anyway, the person may take it. But if it's not a Monday or Thursday, they may not take it, and somebody else needs to be called because it has to reflect what is being said. And this is talking about a fast day. Question number 10, what is if I live in Israel and I come to a shul, and Yom Tov Sheni in the diaspora, may I take an aliyah? The answer is nope, because it's not Yom Tov Sheni for you. You have to respect Yom Tov Sheni, and you cannot act in a way which desecrates Yom Tov Sheni, but you cannot take an aliyah because it is not Yom Tov Sheni for you. What if somebody is blind? May they get an aliyah? The answer is yes. Some are challenges because there's a rule that you are not allowed to read the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah orally. And so you may say, well, this person cannot read, so therefore they are going to say it orally. The answer is today, most of the time, the person who gets aliyah does not read. Somebody else is reading, so that's not an issue because the blind person is not doing the actual reading as well. Can a minor, a boy below the age of 12, below the age of 13, get an aliyah? The answer is no, but we'll see some exceptions later on. Again, later on with Maftir and certain parts of Laning as well. Finally, the next concept we're going to deal with, concept five in the whole section of the Kriyas Torah, is the parameters of an aliyah. Today, everybody has chumashim, and the aliyahs are broken up in standard convention, but it wasn't always so simple and clear, and certainly when one needs to add aliyahs, one needs to know a few basic rules. So six questions and the rules. Number one is, how long must an aliyah be? It needs to be at least three psukim. How many is the minimum amount of psukim for a Kriyas Torah? Let's say a Monday, a Thursday, a Shabbos afternoon. It has to be at least 10 psukim. So usually it's 3, 3, 4. It has to be at least 10 psukim altogether. What happens if it's just 9 psukim? So it's 3, 3, 3, right? So Aliyah 1, Aliyah 2, Aliyah 3 with 3, 3, 3. And what happens if that's the situation? In that case, one is technically Yotzei. One technically has fulfilled one's obligation. And the example of the one Kriyas Torah in the entire year that's only 9 psukim long is on the morning of Purim. That aliyah is only 9 because that is the conceptual self-contained issue is at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, he's only 9 psukim long. Can I end the Aliyah wherever I want to? The answer is no. One is not allowed to end the psukim within 3 psukim of the end of a paragraph, or one cannot end within 3 psukim of the beginning of a paragraph. Okay, so there's specific rules as to where an Aliyah can and cannot be. What happens if the Baal Kori mistakenly stopped there close to the paragraph and the bracha was already said? So the next Aliyah will start off where he left off, but must continue past the 2 psukim so that the next Aliyah is a full Aliyah, not just 2 psukim. Are there any other pointers? The answer is yes. One should try to start and end an Aliyah on something positive for the nation of Israel. So for example, the second Aliyah of Parshas Kisisa and the sixth Aliyah of Parshas Kisavoy, they're very, very long because it's not going to end on a negative point. And they're talking about two very negative times in the history of the nation of Israel. So that also has to be taken into account when adding Hosafas, when adding extra Aliyahs as well. In some Chumashim, there are stars next to the psukim that it is more appropriate to make a extra Hosafa, an extra Aliyah for as well. Generally speaking, our Siddurim are very, very helpful, and we don't really need to spend an excessive amount of time on this as well. We can look at our sixth concept in all the laws of the learning of the Torah, and that is mistakes. So we know that the Oleh, the person who comes up needs to say a bracha, are referring to the Aliyah, the Kriya that he's about to be read to. So six basic questions. What happens if I went up and got an Aliyah, and I was shown the wrong area to begin with Aliyah or with, and I already said the bracha? What happens? Do I need to say a new bracha when that's corrected? So it depends. If the area which was correct, the real place that Aliyah begins, was actually open, it's just I was in a different place in the open area. So the Torah is opened up to kiss it, and it's on the page, it's just, or the column, or the side column, but I kissed the wrong area, then it's fine. You know, new bracha is needed because the assumption is that your bracha went on the whole area is open. But if it is not open, you need to roll it a little bit, then it is a problem. You need to say a new bracha as well. These are the kind of halachas you need to know right away because there's no time to check this out when this happens. And this happens quite often. If it is a problem, what should I do? So you need to roll to the new place, say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vo'ed on the bracha of Atola that was made, kiss the correct place, and then say the Birkas HaTorah without a baruchu beforehand because the baruchu already was said. If the correct place was before where I was shown, doesn't make a difference. Meaning, if I was shown a certain column and it's before that, it's to the right in Hebrew, what does it make a difference? The Mishnah Berurah says, no, it's fine. As long as it was visible at the time of the bracha, it was open, then it's not a problem. The Kitzur is machmir in this case. He is more stringent. And he says, if it is before, it's a problem because that's not the default intent of your bracha. Your bracha was from the place you were shown onwards, not before the place of where you kissed. If that is the case, then then you would have to have a new bracha. It's a problem. And the Kitzur is pretty machmir, pretty stringent when it comes to this as well. Unless, of course, as the Kitzur is just a few lines up from where you were actually shown. In that case, just start a few psukim earlier than where you were shown, and then it's all right as well. What if, in question four, if I called someone for an aliyah, and there were only 2 psukim, and it was only psukim, I was called, so what should I do in that case? So in that case, the Aliyah needs to be restarted with a new bracha because those 2 psukim do not count as an Aliyah as well. What if we realized this only after calling up the next Aliyah, let's say the Levi? So if he didn't start the bracha, call up the Kohen and give him a fitting Aliyah, a proper Aliyah. If he already, the Levi already made the bracha, the Levi continues and starts from the place the Kohen ended. So it doesn't look like he's repeating what the Kohen's 2 psukim were because otherwise it makes it look like that wasn't a good Aliyah. But you should have now 4 aliyahs on that day if it's a Monday or Thursday or Shabbos afternoon. So there are 3 aliyahs, which are proper aliyahs, not the first 2 psukim, which don't really count as well. What if if it was a Levi aliyah and we called the Yisrael and he started the bracha? So it goes, Kohen gets a three pasuk aliyah. Levi gets 2 pasuk aliyah. And then you realize after he said the bracha, oh no. In that case, the Yisrael should start from where the Levi started. There's no concern about the distinction of the Kohen's lineage being questioned. And you carry on going from there. Same with the string of Yisrael's as well. Finally, what about the halachas of returning a Sefer Torah? So we can look at a few basic points over here, 9 basic questions. And this concludes our learning today. What do we do when we finish the Aliyah? So after that, there's a Chatzi Kaddish, a half Kaddish, which is said, which is generally a marker at the end of a section of davening. So the Chatzi Kaddish is said, the Hagba, the Torah is lifted, the Glila, the Torah is rolled, and then the Aaron is returned to the Ark as well. To note that some Nuscha'os have the Hagba and Glila done at the beginning, before the Torah is actually read, and some have the return to the Ark actually later after Ashrei, but nonetheless, this is the standard Ashkenazic practice, which is what the Kitzur is following. Let's unpack those one by one. Do we always say a Chatzi Kaddish or Half Kaddish, which is the Kaddish up to the end of the second paragraph? No. So at Shabbos Mincha, we're about to say it just before the Shmona Esrei, so it's not said after the Kriyas Torah. That's the one exception to when a Chatzi Kaddish is not said after the Kriyas Torah. How much must be opened by for Hagba? This is not a contest. This is not trying to show how muscular a person is. This is not showing how much one can flex one's wrists, because it's actually not on the wrists. It's about leveraging it up. But it should be three columns at least. So it should be that the column that's being read from and the two side columns need to be displayed. How much must I turn when holding it? So usually one turns to the right and the left, ensuring that everybody in the front and the back can be able to see the Sefer Torah as well. Some people do a full circle, but the correct practice is to the right or most of the way to the left, most of the way as well. In fact, the Ramban says that when it describes the curses and the blessings that are placed on Har Grizim and Har Eval, that the one curse, which is Arur Asher Lo'akim is Divrei HaTorah, is cursed to be the person who does not establish or hold up the Torah. This Torah, the Ramban says, the reciprocal blessing is for a person who does Hagba correctly, a person who holds up the Torah so everybody else can see it as well. Which gets to our next question as well, which is, what should the people be doing when they see Hagba? So they need to stand and look at the words, and they say the merged psukim. It's two separate psukim put together. This is the Torah which Moshe gave to the nation of Israel by the mouth of God in the hands of Moshe. And they're supposed to say that only when the actual script of the Torah is in their direction, which is why it's important to see that. One doesn't just say it when one sees the back of the Torah. There are those who use their pinkies and point. That's seen in deference as opposed to pointing with one's index finger, but that seems to be a much hazier and later minag. The general practice is to slightly bow towards the Torah when the script is in one's direction. What is the job of the glila? So it is rolling the Torah closed, and it's important that the seam between the two rolls of the parchment, because remember, it's not one long parchment, it's lots of different sections of parchment with columns. They're sewn together, so it's the seam needs to be in the middle between the two rollers as well. How do I best achieve that? So the person who does the hagba, before lifting it, kisses the parchment, but he should make sure that he rolls it backwards or forwards to the nearest seam so that he's lifting it up so that the seam can be put in the middle. If the magbia, the person who lifts it up, does not do that, then the person who's doing the glila, the goylel, the roller, needs to help him roll it to get to that point to ensure that this is in fact correct. What is done during the glila? So on Monday and the Thursday, there are extra supplications that he wrote on, just said. They are omitted in the days when Tachanun is omitted. And finally, what is the process of return? The Shliach Tzibur picks up the Torah and cries out or says to the community, Yahalu Hashem Hashem ki niskov shumo lev Adonai. And everybody responds, Hoidu al eretz v'shamay v'arim keren amoyti lelocho chasidov livnei Yisrael amkarevoy halleluka. And then on a Shabbos, one would say Mizmor Chav Tes, the 29th Psalm in Tehillim. And on a weekday or any other day, it would be Mizmor Chav Dalet, which is said as they're escorted, and they finally say Uvenu Choyomar, which of course is the reciprocal pasuk to Vayibin So Aaron. Those are the two psukim which describe the movement of the Aaron. Vayibin So is the first one, and Uvenu Choyomar is when it's returned, and then it is brought back. It is important to know that anybody who passes the Torah, so the Torah passes them, should actually walk out at least the pace of 7 feet, 4 amos, to escort it, and the Magbiah and the Golel, the person who lifted it up, and the person who rolled it, need to escort the Torah all the way back to Aaron as well. With this, we conclude the section about learning about the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. Obviously, a huge amount over here, and we put it into two pieces, but this gives us at least a working language to understand some of the complexities that go into this very special part of davening. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.